today as we come to the table.
You see, rather than running to God and saying, I have sinned, I need you to forgive me, I need to be restored here, they said, you know what? Don't tell God. Let's just cover this thing up. Give me some fig leaves here. Give me something that'll dry up and be irritating. And it's amazing when we try to cover our sins, guys, it will always leave us dry and irritated. And on top of that, even embarrassed. Only the Lord can cover our sin by his sacrifice on the cross, and it will never be achieved by our measly efforts to cover ourselves. It's impossible to do. And yet, how many people try to cover their own sin without coming to the Lord? Again, it will always leave you dry in spirit and irritated in conscience.
Little kids aren't very good at covering up their mistakes. As hard as they might try, their efforts are usually futile. In fact, their lies and attempts at hiding the evidence are often so far-fetched that it can even be a little humorous. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. When we, as adults, try to cover up our sins before God, the results will always be futile. But the difference between us and a child hiding their wrongs is that God doesn't find it humorous at all. Pastor Mark reminds you today that the consequences of sin are grave. In fact, when played out fully, sin leads to death. Instead of hiding your sin, confess it today. Find the forgiveness and mercy that God will give you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, as he continues his message, The Lure of Temptation.
We need to understand the gravity of our sin the way God sees it. And then we need to understand the gravity of his forgiveness and of his grace. Because even though we have sinned, he pours out abundant grace and mercy and forgiveness. And yet I don't think we understand how serious our sin really is. Now, again, there's no more beautiful tree than the tree on Calvary, and that's the one that our eyes need to be focused on when Satan brings the temptation, especially the lust of the eyes. Lastly, notice she saw that it was a tree desirable to make one wise. We saw first the lust of the flesh, then we saw the lust of the eyes, and now what is the last one we see? The pride of life. She could be an intellectual. She could have the knowledge even as high as God. As a matter of fact, maybe even higher than God, as some people even believe today. There's a pride that comes with knowledge. There's nothing wrong in knowledge. Having knowledge is good. But the Bible says that knowledge alone puffs up. Knowledge without love, knowledge without maturity, knowledge without understanding puffs up, and it causes pride. And one of the things I have learned is pride is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. It is what caused Satan to fall from heaven, and it's what keeps the best of friends and family from reconciliation. It is powerful. I read of a guy this week in Muleshoe, Texas, a guy I guess they called in the town Uncle Zeke, kind of a town name for him, who they said had so much pride he could never admit a mistake no matter what it was. And one example they gave, I guess the most extreme, was they said one day he stumbled into a blacksmith shop and he saw a horseshoe lying on the floor, which unbeknownst to him had just been thrown on the floor by the blacksmith and was still very hot. So for some reason he walked over and picked it up and just as quickly threw it back down to the ground. And so the blacksmith looked up with a smile and said, kind of hot, ain't it, Zeke? And old Zeke replied, nope, just doesn't take me long to look at a horseshoe. Now, some of us are like that. Rather than just admitting, you know what, I am wrong. And I think when it comes to God, we have a hard time saying that. God, I am wrong. I have sinned against you, and I need to be forgiven of my sin. It needs to be washed away. And God says, if you'll just do that, I am more than willing to forgive you. My grace is sufficient. My blood is sufficient. Do it right now. You'll receive eternal life. There's joy and the weight of guilt is gone. So it's exciting when we understand what God's side of it is. It's sobering when we see our side. But again, notice here that Eve believes Satan's lie that she could attain higher knowledge, that only God could attain. And the temptation that came with the exalted knowledge was more than she could handle. She had to have that hidden knowledge. She had to be in the know, if you will. Now, you know there are those today whose pride is so great they still believe that they can know as much as God, if not more. And it's devastating. It destroys people's lives. They claim that due to their studies that they have proven that God indeed didn't create the earth as he says, but it simply evolved over time. You hear them making statements that their wisdom and studies have taught them that there is no God, and the pride that comes with their supposed intellectualism leads them to eternal destruction. Romans 1:22 says it this way, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Guys, how could anyone say, well, I know this is supposedly God's word and what God said, but I know better now. I'm more mature. I know my studies. I have a higher level of intellectualism. I'm actually smarter than God. It is the greatest level of arrogance. And again, you see the power that pride has because it deceives us into thinking that we're something that we're not, thinking more highly of ourselves than we should. And again, the Bible brings us back down to earth really quick, does it not? Eve bought into it. And notice it says, next she did eat. Interesting, the word here means to devour. It's used to describe famines and pestilences as they ravish the land. You see, what Eve had done is she had now released her godly inhibitions due to the deception of Satan, and not only ate, but ate with a passion. And see, this is what sin does. Once we give in, it becomes an all-consuming fire that destroys us. It consumes us. Why? Because again, as it builds up and builds up, and when we release those inhibitions, we go for it full steam. You know, the Bible gives a picture of sin being a lot like the undertow in the ocean. You get out in it so far and you think, I can handle this. This isn't bad. I feel it pulling me, but this is not going to pull me far enough. I can get out of this anytime I want. But it's those who think they can handle it farther that end up getting swept away in the ocean. And there have been people that have been great swimmers and great surfers that have been deceived by thinking they can handle the ocean's currents, by not really understanding, you know what? I may know how to do this, but the ocean is a much greater power than I am. And when it comes to sin, it's the same way. We may know how to do this. We know how to read the word. We know how to pray. We know how to stay out of the way of trouble. But we have to realize that we can't toy with it. We can't wade out into it a little bit because it's a stronger power than we are. And I believe that as Eve was looking at the tree, I mean, I don't know what she did. It doesn't tell us. But I wonder, as she walked toward the tree, if she wasn't thinking, you know what? I could stop anytime I wanted, right? You ever heard that? I could quit anytime I want. I could stop anytime I wanted. But she gets to the point when she finally got to this fruit, whatever this fruit was. When she finally got there, her desires had grown to such an extent, and now she began to grasp it and look at it, that she devoured the fruit. And now he not only had destroyed her, he had enabled curses to come into the entire race of mankind. Again, never think that our sin doesn't affect others, because it does affect others. And Eve here and Adam affected the entire population. Now, again here, she ate, but it wasn't enough. She didn't stop there. You think, well, that's enough. Okay, Eve, you blew it. You know, get it right. Confess it. You realize that you've been lied to. But it says here, notice she gave some to Adam and he ate as well. Now, I don't know what it is about our sin, but there's something about sin that often makes us want to pull others into it. You know, if people go drinking, a lot of times they want somebody to go drinking with. They want a drinking buddy. They don't want to be alone. And they even talk about their drinking buddy or whatever the case might be. And why is this? Well, you know, some people try to beat the system and they say, well, I want to teach others how to beat the system. And again, if it's legal, that's one thing, but it's beating the system against the law, that's another. And so why do people do this? I think one is because sin separates us from God, and there's an inner loneliness that we feel when we're disconnected from God. And so we know that something's not right, so we're in our sin, but we're still not fulfilled. And so we try to gather others around us, try to get with other people that are doing that sin so that maybe we're not so lonely. But another reason, I think, is because now our conscience has been eased and doesn't feel so bad if we have other people doing the same thing we're doing. I don't feel so bad if I notice that everyone else is doing the same thing I'm doing. I couldn't be that bad. After all, they're doing it too. And so I think that gathering others to us, it eases our conscience. And see, this was what Eve was doing. She's like, look, I've done this, and now I want Adam to be a part of this. You know, as they say, misery loves company. But again, it's bad enough that Eve took the bait and was deceived. But I think what is worse is that the Bible says that Adam wasn't deceived, and he still ate it. Now, this to me is much worse than Eve's sin. At least she believed what she was doing was true. Adam knew it wasn't true, and he still did it. And understand this, willful sin is always worse than honest deception. Honest deception is not good, but willful sin's even worse. 1 Timothy 2:13 and 14 speaks of Adam and says, for Adam was formed first, and then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression, showing that Adam did it willfully. So you see a willful transgression or a willful sin, and you see a dishonest deception, or rather an honest deception. Now, why do I bring up the point of honest deception? Because note this, guys, there are those today that think if they're honestly deceived, they're going to be okay before God. How many of you have heard this argument? Well, I know that Jesus said he's the only way to the Father, and no one goes to the Father except by him, and there's no other door into heaven. I know all these things Jesus said, but those that are involved in Buddhism, they really believe it with all their heart. And those that are involved in Hinduism, they believe it with all their heart. You don't understand. The Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Islam, they truly believe that this is the right path and they're going to go the right way. Guys, listen, the Bible says it doesn't matter whether you're honestly deceived or dishonestly deceived. You're still deceived, and deception will keep you from the kingdom. You know, it's interesting. On a mission trip one time overseas, I went to get some money. I was going to exchange some money in, and I walked up to the banker there and the teller, and I had this, I think it was only a $5 bill. It wasn't a lot of money, but I gave them the money. I wanted to transfer it over into other money. They took the money, and they looked at it under this examination scanner, some kind of thing they had, and they gave it back to me and said, "We can't cash that for you. That's counterfeit." I said, "What do you mean counterfeit? I mean, I didn't say all this, but here's what I'm thinking. This is real money. I know it is." You know, and I didn't fight with them in a verbal way, but I'm thinking, look, there's the picture of the president. It says America, and it's green. This, give me my money. Right? Because I believed it was real because it looked like the real thing. You see, I was honestly deceived. But when I stood before that banker and it came time to cash it in, my honest deception fell short and left me empty. That's exactly what sin and false religion will do. The Bible says there's going to be a day we all stand before God and we're all going to give an account, and only those who have the real cashable money, what is that example in this? Only the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood of the Jesus of the Bible. The right Jesus is important too, because a lot of them are out there. And so the one, as Jesus said in John chapter 7, believing in him as the scripture has said, you've got to have the right Jesus. And so when you stand there before the Lord, it's like, well, you know what, Lord? I really believed in the Jesus of this group or the Jesus of that group or my religion or my this or my that. Well, then why didn't you look at my scriptures and find out what I was really like? But Lord, I believed it with all my heart. The Bible says many will stand before him on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these wonderful things for you? And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. It's scary when you read passages that say that wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads to life. And we have to ask ourselves, which gate are we going through? Which one are we on? The counterfeit will not stand before God's throne. We have to make sure that we have the right one. Well, notice here in verse 7 that she brings it to Adam. He eats as well. And then it says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves coverings. Note that. I have that underlined. Notice it says, first of all, that both of their eyes, and we'll get to that in a moment, but notice it says both of their eyes were indeed open, even as Satan said, but they weren't open for the betterment as promised, only the worse. Now they understood evil and had been defiled. You see, part of what Satan said was true. He told Eve two things, that her eyes would be opened, which was true, and that she would be like God, which was not true. And again, even the way her eyes would be opened, he didn't let her know that it would be to see that she's been deceived. The problem was her eye opening was not to good but to evil, and it caused her to lose her innocence and righteousness before God. Now understand, Satan does the same thing today to us. He only gives us partial truth, the part that looks good, but he hides lies behind it that will destroy us. He doesn't tell us what will lead us to our death. He'll tell you, well, go ahead, it'll feel great. And again, as we said, maybe it will, but he doesn't say that it will eventually separate, will immediately separate you from God, and eventually, unless you repent, it will eternally condemn your soul. That's the part he leaves out. That's a pretty important part. It'd be like not knowing what a car is. And suddenly somebody gives you one and say, enjoy. And it never goes anywhere. You're like, what is wrong with this car? I know how to start it. I know how to, oh, it won't work. What's the problem? Well, did anybody tell you to put gas in it? Oh, I didn't know that. That's pretty important. Without the gas, the car is useless. And so Satan will show you the beauty of the car, so to speak, but he won't tell you what's going to happen in the other part of it. Now, notice they were naked, it says. It's interesting. This word here encompasses more than just physical nakedness. It is also used of spiritual nakedness, referring to the awakening of the conscience concerning evil. And I believe that is the main meaning here. They were already physically naked. They knew they were naked. There was no surprise on that in the physical sense. Now they knew in their shame before God that they were spiritually naked because the robe of righteousness had been removed due to their sin, and now their conscience had been defiled. And so they knew they were sinners. And God could see what they had done. He knew this the whole time. Now, again, I think that they probably didn't realize that. God did. And it's no different for us when we sin today. Our conscience tells us that we're caught, and the Bible says nothing is hidden before the Lord. Hebrews 4:13 says this, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. See, the Bible says we'll all stand before the Lord one day, and we're going to give an account. of our life. And whether or not, if we're in Christ, of course, we're forgiven. But if we're not in Christ, and the Bible says we stand before the Lord, we've got to give account. Now, understand this. The Bible says that when we stand before God, books will be opened. There'll be the Lamb's Book of Life. Everyone written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be forgiven. They will enter into the kingdom. Their judgment will only be for reward. But for those who haven't given their life to Jesus Christ, it says there will be books with things written, all the things they've done throughout their life recorded. God sees it. God knows it. God records it. And it's going to be judged by God's standard on that day, which is the perfect standard of His law. And that is, if any of it is breached, if any of it is broken, you can't get in. Now, I can imagine some of the arguments. But Lord, you know what? I wasn't as bad as the next guy. I mean, I did some bad things, but I wasn't that bad. Oh, really? You weren't that bad? No, I wasn't that bad. Well, it just so happens that I've been recording everything, and I'd like to show that right now. Angels, could you roll that film? Could you hold on just a moment? And I'm not saying he has a film to roll. I don't know that. It is for practical purposes. He certainly has it recorded. But I can hear the argument. Oh, wait. Because, you know, Lord, here, in front of all the angels and everyone throughout eternity, I'd rather not reveal everything I've ever done. Okay, I've done a few things that aren't that good, all right? I admit that. There's a few things. But I've done a lot more that are better. And I don't think I've really done anything that should justify me being eternally separated from you. I mean, you know what I mean? Oh, really? You don't think you've done that? No. Well, I think that you have. Angels, you want to roll them here? Let's see. Whoa. And you see the scene going on. The bottom line is, there's not going to be an excuse we can use before God. See, here's what we have to grasp, guys. The Bible says one sin separates us eternally from God. And you're saying, well, then who has a chance? No one without the blood of Jesus Christ. Everyone with the blood of Jesus Christ. See, that's the good news. That's what the gospel is, that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. And by His blood, if we accept that and ask His forgiveness, it's washed away and we live eternally with Him. And then we don't have that judgment to face. Well, it's interesting to me here because notice it says that they made themselves, remember I told you to, I had that underlined, they made themselves coverings. Now, why do I find that interesting? Because, well, we'll get to in just a moment about how we try to cover our own sin ourselves, and that's impossible to do. But I find this next part very amusing, and you might even call it poetic justice. Notice they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves in their nakedness. Now, being leaves, they would, of course, dry up very quickly once they've been plucked, making them useless and crumbly. And on top of that, it is my understanding that fig leaves are an extremely itchy leaf to skin. Now, that is not exactly the type of thing you want in some very sensitive areas. And yet, that's what they chose. And see, this is a beautiful picture of what we are like when we try to cover our sin ourselves. You see, rather than running to God and saying, I have sinned, I need you to forgive me, I need to be restored here, they said, you know what, don't tell God. Let's just cover this thing up. Give me something, give me some fig leaves here. Give me something that'll dry up and be irritating. And it's amazing, when we try to cover our sins, guys, it will always leave us dry and irritated. And on top of that, even embarrassed. Only the Lord can cover our sin by His sacrifice on the cross, and it will never be achieved by our measly efforts to cover ourselves. It's impossible to do. And yet, how many people try to cover their own sin without coming to the Lord? Again, it will always leave you dry in spirit and irritated in conscience. Maybe this morning you've been doing that. God has exposed sin in your life. You know that you're doing something wrong, and now you're dry in spirit. If you're a believer, you've fallen away. If you're an unbeliever, you've never known the fullness of the Lord. All you know is that you're empty and something is missing. There's got to be more. I remember as God began to draw me in, the question that kept coming in my mind was, is there's got to be more. There's got to be more. God puts that there. The Bible says He puts that in your heart so that you'll begin to long for Him and realize, I am dry. There's something more to life than just this world, this existence, the heartache, the disappointment. This dryness, the fact that I'm always irritated or whatever the case might be, it's because you're trying to cover your own sin. And it will not stand the test of time, nor will it stand the test of God when we stand before Him on that day. Guys, let's end with this. Maybe God has opened your eyes today and you suddenly realize that you're spiritually naked before the Lord. Maybe you didn't realize it. Maybe you were honestly deceived. You thought, you know what, I'm okay. I'm not that bad. A lot of people are more, you know, worse than I am. But now today, God has showed you, you know what? If you've ever sinned, I've got it written down, and one day it's going to be called up and keep you from the kingdom unless you allow me to erase it from the books. Okay, Lord, how do I erase it from the books? Very simply, God's eraser is blood, and it came through His Son by the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if you will believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again the third day from the grave, and if you believe in Him and ask forgiveness of your sins and ask His forgiveness, the Bible says He will wash away your sins and you'll become a new creature. And you'll no longer be naked before the Lord, but now you'll be, as the Bible says, clothed in a robe of righteousness. And I believe part of their realization that they were naked was, is the robe of righteousness that they had prior to that was now removed. And suddenly they felt exposed. Lord, I know that I'm not covered by you anymore. I know that my sin is before you and that I'm accountable. And one day I'll have to answer to you. And maybe God has revealed that to you today. Maybe you've tried to cover your own sin with fig leaves, that is, good works or religion. You've tried to be nice. You've tried to go to church. You've tried to think good thoughts, rather than realizing only Jesus can cover your sin by his blood. And you may think, well, I'm covering it well. No one knows it. No, here's the problem. God knows it, and you know it. And it's never going to go away until you deal with it. It's never going to be taken care of until you take it to the cross. You know, maybe you were lied to and drawn in by the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and then you find yourself naked and exposed before God. See, here's the good news. You can be covered today, but it's a matter of coming to the cross. You know, John the Baptist said this. He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When we get a little bit further in Genesis chapter 3, we're going to see that after sin entered the world, God could now kill an animal. Before that, there was no death, but now sin entered the world. And it says when God saw them in these ridiculous coverings and probably feeling sorry for him, saying, you covered yourself with what? Ooh. Didn't make you as smart as I thought I did, I guess. Okay, well, let's do something about that. And the Bible says he killed an animal and he took the animal skins and he covered Adam and Eve. You know, I believe that Adam and Eve repented and I believe we'll see them in heaven. Why do I believe that? Because I believe the killing of the animal was in response to them saying, Lord, forgive us. And he said, you know what? I will, but the blood has to be spilled. And so God killed the animal. Now he took the skin and I believe it was a lamb. The Bible doesn't tell us, but knowing God and how he follows symbols all through scripture, I believe it was a lamb. Because he was giving a foreshadow, I believe, of the Lamb of God who would one day die for the sins of the world and cover all of us. And instead of our measly, itchy fig leaves that leave us dry and irritated in this world, he wanted to cover us with warm lambskin that was eternal and would get us into the kingdom. The question is, have you been covered by that lambskin? Allow God to cover you. And if you're a believer and you strayed away, listen, stop trying to hide behind fig leaves. It's time to cut it off because it will eventually destroy you. And until you take care of it, it will take care of you. Let's ask God to do it. Father, that is my prayer that for believers here this morning, Lord, we as believers, if we have something we're toying with, Lord, if we are in sin or else getting close to sin, Lord, I pray that you would now intervene by your Spirit and speak loudly to our hearts today to cut it off, whether it be a relationship, whether it be an activity, whether it be whatever the case might be. We ask that you would now give us the courage, Lord, to say it is better to lose a limb than to lose our life eternally. And I pray you'd give us courage to make that commitment right now. But Lord, I also pray for those in here that may not even know you yet. You have revealed to them that they stand before you spiritually naked, exposed before your throne. And Lord, right now, by your Spirit, you are moving in their heart and saying, yes, I see your nakedness. You see your nakedness. But now you have to do something about it. And that is receive my Son who died on the cross for you. Ask forgiveness of your sins and commit yourself to me. And I will wash away your sin. I will remove those fig leaves that leave you dry and irritated. And I will cover you with the warm skin of the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world, that you might have another tree that the desire of your eyes would go to. And that is the cross where his blood was spilled. Lord, how we love you, how we thank you. And now we ask that you would move in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis, and there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that he was there all along, and he set things in motion exactly as he instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. Please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.